Hey, I'm Dan Morgan, and it's a pleasure of mine to be here. Bob asked me to come to speak with you. Many years ago, back after I had graduated college, I volunteered with the youth and got to know Bob and Aaron. And it's a pleasure for me to be able to give you this message today, a little bit about money and Proverbs. So I'm married, three kids, and I work as a financial planner. So I don't know if that had anything to do with me talking about money and Proverbs, but nevertheless, here I am. One thing that I want to mention before we get rolling here is that when I volunteered with the youth, the reason that I did that and the thing that I loved the most was that we really had an opportunity to see life change over the 4 years. It doesn't actually make sense that your life would change over 4 years, but volunteering with youth, we saw that. Kids that were selfish became selfless, and I truly believe that in your heart, when you believe something, you're going to act on it, and we get to see the ramifications of that change. With that hope that you would hear from the Bible and from Proverbs today, let me go ahead and pray for us, and we'll get into money and Proverbs. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day, and I thank you for your blessing on us. I thank you, Lord, for Proverbs and for all of Scripture that is inspired by you and that you have a purpose in it for us to know. Lord, I pray for just all of us in our attempts to do what is right in your eyes, that we would glorify you, that we would know you, that the message that I give now, the parts that are true, would bear fruit in our lives and truly lead to godliness and great gain. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So I want to emphasize in Proverbs that it's actually a book that is wisdom literature. So that means that we're not really looking at something that is gospel. We're looking at something that across the board is true. And what that means is that we have pithy statements. I mean, proverb is actually a word that we use all the time, but they're basically pithy statements that help you to understand broader truths. So let me give you an example of that. In Proverbs 14:23, it says, "In all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty." Now, a direct application of that would seem that somebody who just talked would always come to poverty, and somebody who worked really hard, they would always be wealthy. But always and never are things that really don't belong in Proverbs. Let me give an example. Say you and your brother decide that you're each going to start a separate business over the summer. Your brother decides to go and do a business where he's going to raise some money, and he's going to try to invest it in some harebrained idea. And you decide, I'm just going to go cut grass, cut as much grass as I can. You make $5,000. He talks to your parents' friends, and he raises $18,000, right? You might look at that and say, well, that doesn't make any sense. Proverbs 14:23 said, talk leads to poverty, and here I did the hard work, and I made a lot less. Well, once again, the story isn't complete yet. We'll see what happens to your brother's business plan. Maybe he turns into Bill Gates, but more than likely, it doesn't work out. The principle is there. The principle remains, and the principle is that if you work hard and you move it slowly and steadily at a time, you're going to end up in a better place than if you try to just talk about it, not actually put any work behind it. So, the nature of the writing is wisdom, and we need to be able to apply that wisdom to our lives. And I say that because in the world of money in particular, scoundrels abound. So if you don't exercise wisdom, you might get taken for a ride. Now, I think that the majority of our issues when it comes to money comes from our relation to our view of God. There's a great song, Is He Worthy? And I knew I wasn't supposed to sing, but there we go. Is God worthy? Is He really worthy of all of our life? Because if He is our all in all, then we have that secret that Paul talks about of contentment, right? As Paul says in Philippians 4, I have learned to be content in any situation, whether with little or with much. And when that happens, we're not greedy, we're not lustful, we see where we are and we say, you know what? I am good with God. It is well with my soul. And isn't that what we really want to say? We don't seek unjust gain. We don't expect wealth to be given to us. Proverbs 1:19 says, such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. So what is better in life to say? It is well with my soul, or the parable of the rich fool? What shall I do with my wealth? I will build more wealth and store it for myself. Verse 19, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. That sounds like the goal that we all have, doesn't it? But God said to him, fool, This very night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So do you use your money to spend on yourself and your own desires? There's an old expression that says, show me a man's wallet, and I will show you what he cares about. Now, you may not know what a wallet is. Basically, it's a place you put money and you spend it. The point isn't that. The point is that you can assess where somebody's heart is based on what they spend their money on. The things that you care about, you're going to put your money toward. If you are wholly and devotedly sold out, or achieving a bunch of money isn't going to be a success. The first indicator, as we get into Proverbs, that there's a problem here is when money becomes an end as opposed to a means. Now, let me explain ends and means for a second. You've probably heard it a couple times before, but it's an important concept to grasp because it shows if you've created an idol of money. Money is meant to be a means. Like my daughter, she loves to draw, and so she draws. Why does she draw? Well, one person might draw because they want to create a masterpiece. Another person might draw because they want to express some feelings. And another person draws because they just love to draw. That's my daughter. In each of these different cases, there's different means and ends. The end is creating a masterpiece. I'm sure they would probably be just as happy if they were able to write a book or create an awesome music song. Same thing here. For someone who's expressing themselves, they could do that through writing or they could do it through drawing. But they're doing it through drawing. Drawing is the means. The end is expressing themselves. And lastly, somebody who just loves it for what it is, the drawing is a means, but it's also the end. So the thing you have to be wary of is the love of money the end, or is it a means that allows you to be able to do other things, to spend it on a variety of things? And everybody does that. Most people do have an end in mind with money. And those ends can be material or immaterial. Generally, the immaterial is what drives the material. So we're looking at power, security, adventure, giving it to other people, perhaps. The one place that money doesn't belong, again, is in that position where it's an end. I mean, some of those ends can be wrong as well. Just trying to have money for power's own sake, isn't necessarily a good thing either, but at least it's not the end. Proverbs 2:4 helps us to understand what the true end really ought to be, and that is, it is to treasure wisdom, which is more worth than money, and to actively trade the money that you have for wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, Proverbs 9:10. So you have to say to yourself, wealth, are we going to seek it? I'll give you a story. A coworker of mine many years ago, his son was graduating from college, and he went to every wealthy person he knew to ask them, what do I have to do to be successful? And some people said, go into sales. You'll do great in sales. Anyone can sell and you'll make a lot of money. Another person said, develop computer skills. As long as you have a skill, you'll be able to do it. He talked to one other man and he said, Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things will be added to you. That's the key. Right. If we can seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, if the place that we have in our heart is for the Lord, then all of the things that have to do with money will follow right after that. This is the first and primary claim in Proverbs. Don't store up money, but store up wisdom and live appropriately. So we need to be wise. Great. What does that actually look like? Well, I'm going to give you now a series of basically 10 different things in Proverbs that talks about what it means to be wise in regard to money. The first one, the wise don't seek money, they seek wisdom. Did I already say that? The second, wise do not gain wealth by being wicked. Proverbs 10:2 says, treasures gained by wickedness do not profit. And Proverbs 21:16, oppressing the poor brings poverty. Quick aside here, guys and girls. If you ever oppress the poor or do anything negative to the poor, you are inviting God's judgment on you. Like, if you do bad things to the poor, God does bad things to you. If you do good things for the poor, he says it's like doing it to him directly. So the same also applies to the elderly and the disabled. But in Proverbs, it talks about it many times. Give to the poor. The wise do not gain wealth hastily. Whoever gains wealth hastily will dwindle, but those who gather little by little will increase it. Proverbs 12:11, Proverbs 13:11. There's a reason why we have a phrase, get rich quick schemes, right? That's exactly what they are. If you're offered $10 million US by sending money to Nigeria, remember Proverbs 13:11. The wise give their wealth generously. I know, you're shocked. Really? Giving? I never thought I'd hear that going to a church listening to a sermon. They give to the poor and not to the wealthy who are already wealthy. In fact, that's kind of a surprise that I saw when I was going through Proverbs. He specifically points out that giving to wealthy is not truly really giving, and that it causes a problem. Giving to the rich brings poverty. Proverbs 22:16. The wise give to the poor. And you know what? Giving to the poor is hard. Because, like the parable of the Good Samaritan, we are all tempted to pass on the other side. See, giving to rich people, we know, okay, well, you know, they've lived their life well, they've made some good decisions, they're in a decent place, maybe they've made, you know, good choices, we feel comfortable giving our money, they're going to use it well, we think. But somebody who's poor, we think, well, why aren't they better? Why are they poor? Why didn't they do all the things that they should have done? Why didn't they follow all these proverbs and end up in a better situation? Clearly they're making bad decisions and I shouldn't give them any money because that would be reckless use of my money. Well, the reality is giving to the poor is messy. And God likes that. He might actually use you when he gives it to the poor. He might actually work through you. He might actually call your heart to something, open your eyes. He might open your heart. And then you will receive what God gives, which is pressed down and overflowing. Jeremiah 17:10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruits of his deeds. The wise do not co-sign alone. You're thinking, co-sign alone? What is he talking about? Well, what that basically means is if you have a friend who wants to borrow money from a lender and he comes to you and says, hey, if I can't pay him back, how about you pay him back? Right? That should send off some alarm bells. Wait, why would I pay back what you're borrowing? That doesn't make any sense to do. Well, that's good. That's good that the alarm bells are going off because there are a lot of disreputable folks in the finance industry. And when it comes to money, you should be careful who you invest with and what you're responsible to cover in the event your business partner decides to take a lifelong vacation to Aruba. The better principle is to give to those who need it and tell those who would just want to borrow money that they should work to earn it. Remember your brother and his parents' friends? They're probably not getting that $18,000 back. The wise do not accept bribes. This should be straightforward. You shouldn't even have to mention the fact that wise people don't accept bribes or that anyone should accept a bribe. But there are many in our culture who would say that to be wise in the ways of the world means that you give bribes and alternatively could potentially accept them. Regardless of their opinions, it should not be named among you. Believers should not do that. The wise, according to Proverbs, do not charge high rates of interest. Now, that one might be a surprise to some of you listening. Proverbs 28:8, whoever multiplies wealth by interest and profit gathers from him who is generous to the poor. Once again, the poor show up. I think the idea there mostly is if somebody is in need of money and they're poor and they're going to have to take a very high rate of interest, perhaps the better course of action is to help them, to actually give them money to be able to do what they need to do rather than charge them a very high rate of interest, which penalizes them for their situation and makes it harder for them to come out from the situation they're in. Next, the wise work hard. It's difficult, but it's appropriate. It's interesting to me how many times in Proverbs it shows up. It shouldn't really, because we live in a capitalist society. It can be easy for us to think, well, if I had money, I could make money, I could invest in this and that. But the reality is working is really the number one way that you're going to earn money, the number one way that you're going to become wealthy. There are so many examples of the opposite of this. In fact, in Proverbs, it's mostly on the other side of the coin. Laziness brings ruin. The slack is brother to the destroyer. Slack is brother to the destroyer. Don't slack off. My favorite, personally, is Proverbs 6:10. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, and a robber will come on you like a bandit and want like an armed man. So slow, steady work brings the daily supply that gives you enough to provide for you, for your family, and for those who need help. And that's really the ticket. Think of that slow and steady and like plodding, right? Plodding's not very much fun. But you all know the story. The tortoise beats the hare in the end. There are a couple more, but the ones that are above are most common within Proverbs, with one final one that I want to make sure to end on. The wise know that riches do not last. Proverbs 27:24. They just don't. I know it's sad. It'd be great if we could create an enduring trust that just lasted for all of your progeny from generation to generation that never had to work. That would be great, right? Wait, you mean never work and never be responsible for working? Wait, is work good? Those are questions you might want to think about and look into as you think about these that are cultural things that we believe but aren't necessarily biblical things to believe. To have something passed on to your children, an inheritance, is appropriate, and in Proverbs does talk about that. But again, riches do not last forever. So that brings up an important question. What does last forever? What should be at the center of your heart? God's kingdom and the souls of men. Jim Elliot famously said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." And in Luke 16, I'm going to read Luke 16, 1 through 13. This is just a phenomenal passage. And I know it's like, you're going to read the whole thing? Yes, I'm going to read the whole thing. Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and he said, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought against him, and this man was wasting his possessions. And he called to him, and he said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Turn in an account of your management, for you can no longer be manager.' And the manager said to himself, 'What shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm too ashamed to beg. I have decided what I'm going to do. I know it. I am going to be removed from management. People may receive me into their houses. I need to make sure they'll receive me.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, write 50. Then he said to another, 'How much do you owe?' And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said, 'Take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwellings.'" I'm just going to pause there for a second. Make friends for yourselves with money, so that when the money fails, because it will, they will receive you into eternal dwellings. Jesus goes on and said, "One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. The one who is dishonest in a very little will be dishonest with much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you with true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one or he will love the other. There can only be one seat on the throne of your heart. He will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." So use that. Use the money that you have been given to be able to do what it is that God is calling you to do. People last for forever. So you can invest in people, you can recognize your place, and be able to move forward by being wise with things that you have. Again, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And that's not to be afraid of the Lord, it's to know the Lord. And that is where we ultimately end up. So take the wealth, which is so simple to put as an idol in your heart, and subjugate it beneath the sovereignty of God. Put him first in your heart, and we'll see all else is added to you. The manager was wise to use the wealth that he had, because actually it wasn't his wealth he was using, it was wealth that belonged to somebody else. Everything that we have actually is not ours. It's been given to us by God. And we have the ability to take that which God has given us, this wealth that we cannot take on for the rest of our lives, to make real differences. We should learn to take the money that we make, remembering that it's a means to an end and not an end to itself, and endure to exchange those funds to secure that which would endure for forever, the souls of men and the rewards that we receive in heaven. Did you know that according to Matthew 5:12, how we receive rewards? When others revile you and persecute you, among other things, that's how we receive eternal rewards, rewards that are in heaven. So take the wealth, which is so simple to put as an idol in your life, and subjugate it beneath the sovereignty of God. Put him first in your heart, so that you will be able to enjoy everything else that God gives you. For he gives us all things richly to enjoy, including himself, which should be at the center and the forefront. Let's pray. Our Father, I pray that as we have heard this, Lord, we would desire to put you first in our lives, that you would be our all in all, that we would not seek to have money fill anything in our lives, but we would recognize that we can be wise with it. We can individually give to the poor as we see need. We can steadily earn what it is that you have for us, that we would have enough for ourselves, for the people that need it, and Lord, for the places that you would direct us to be able to use it. You have been faithful to us, Lord, and we ask that you would help us to be faithful in response to the gifts that you have given. I thank you, Lord, for all of your blessings, and pray this to be bearing fruit again in the lives of the listeners. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.